What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take our look for this Monday morning, our first look for the week, some of the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The magistrate of the Tribunal Electoral, Luis Guerrera, defended the argument of the plenary session of the institution to designate José Raúl Molino as presidential candidate to the Realizing Goals and Alianza parties, replacing Ricardo Martinelli, who was disqualified from competing in the general election due to his conviction in the new business case. We answered that it was based on Article 362 of the Electoral Code. The Electoral Tribunal does not do anything capriciously. It does so based on the law, he said. But to the question as to why they didn't consult RM and Alianza about who they wanted their candidate to be, Guerrero responded, quote, "We didn't have to ask anyone anything at all, because this is a situation that operated as a matter of law. Article 364 of the Electoral Code said that a substitute candidate is disqualified, his substitute will automatically be raised. Therefore, there was no need to do it with him or anyone. We have many cases where the principal leaves the ballot and the principal automatically goes up," he maintains. What would happen if Molino wins the elections and the court declares his candidacy unconstitutional? He was asked. The magistrate said, "This is a matter of ordinary justice. We're not going to give an opinion on what would happen in that matter." But Judge Guerra's responses come one day after the Tribunal Electoral sent a note to Judge Olmedo Arrocha, a rapporteur of the unconstitutionality claim against Agreement 11-1 of 2024, in which Ricardo Martinelli was disqualified from competing in the elections of the May the 5th, and simultaneously Molino, who until then was a candidate for Vice President of the Republic, was appointed in his place. Arrocha asked the Tribunal Electoral whose idea was to designate José Raúl Molino as a presidential candidate replacing Martinelli, or was it a unilateral decision? The decision to enable José Raúl Molino as a candidate for President of the Republic representing the Realizing Goals and Alianza parties was a decision of the plenary of the Electoral Court, taken by Plenary Agreement 11-1 of March the 4th of this year. The Tribunal Electoral responded to the magistrate in a note received by the Supreme Court at 10 a.m. last Friday. The Tribunal Electoral magistrates informed Arrocha that there was no document that supports a decision to enable Molino as a presidential candidate, since the plenary session was prevented from carrying out any negotiations with the parties that nominated him, since the Electoral Code in its Article 362, regulated by Article 91 of Decree 29 of 2022, it had already planned a scenario for when a main candidate lost his status as a candidate, providing for his substitute to assume his place. Well, that position was defended by Judges Eduardo Valdez Escoffery and Luis Guerrero Morales, and Judge Alfredo Juncker, president of the Tribunal Electoral, has another theory. He says, for example, that the figure of the substitute is not applicable to that of the Vice President of the Republic, since the latter performs simultaneously and parallel functions with the President of the Republic. Therefore, in this case, he's not comparable to the figure of a substitute who only acts in the absence of the principal. The President of the Chamber of Commerce, Industries and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIEP, Adolfo Fabrega, through the Sunday column, Camero Alpina, expressed his concern and rejection about the recent bills that seek to create more townships in the province of Bocas del Toro, initiative of the deputy of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, Benicio Robinson. A plural number of deputies have chosen to promote bills whose purposes seem more focused on short-term political gains than on genuine benefit to the country, said Fabrega, emphasizing that said projects have not been properly evaluated or discussed with the citizenry. Fabrega accuses the National Assembly of having lost sight of its role as the legitimate representative of the Panamanian people by diverting attention from the initiatives such as the forfeiture of ownership and modifications to the Assembly's internal regulations. He also states that the omission to discuss these important issues reinforces the idea that the only agenda that interests those who control the legislature is their own. and rejected the actions of the deputies who seek to use the National Assembly as a springboard for their own particular and political interests. The organisation asks all Panamanians to ensure that the Assembly reflects the true interests and aspirations of the people, where the strengthening of democracy is promoted together with the citizenry. The balance of the country's total debt closed at $49,769 million as of the 31st of March, according to the Public Financing Directorate of the Ministry of Economy and Finance. Although the figure decreases by 0.08%, about $32 million, compared to February, if the balance is compared with the figures for the first quarter of last year, an increase of $3,871 million is observed. In March, $56.1 million were paid to bilateral organisations and commercial banks in capital disbursements and another $318 million in interest. $69.7 million corresponding to Treasury bills were also cancelled. On the income side, the entry into the state coffers of $30 million was reported, coming from loans signed from the Development Bank of Latin America, destined for the National Investment Programme for Network Infrastructure, VIAL, to the wastewater management project for Borunga and Arihan-Cabecera, and to the sanitation of the city and bay of Panama. $28.6 million were also received from the Inter-American Development Bank, assigned to the Operational Management Improvement Program of the Institute of National Aqueducts and Sewers, IDAN, in the metropolitan area of Panama, among others. Between the 1st of July of 2019, when President Laurentino Cortizo's mandate began, and March the 31st of this year, the total balance of Panamanian debt has risen by $21,184 million. In the 2024 budget, it has been projected to pay $5,675 million in debt, which constitutes 18% of the general budget, which amounts to $30,690 million, reflecting the weight that the debt has on the state's finances. Recently, the rating agency Moody's announced that the next Panamanian government will face fiscal restrictions due to the deterioration of debt affordability indicators in relation to its peers in a context of high interest rates and increasing spending rigidity. The loss of investment grade for the Fitch agency, which lowered the country's rating, may translate into an increase in the interest that investors will ask. This is to acquire Panamanian debt. A month before Fitch withdrew the investment grade, Panama issued on the 22nd of February bonds maturing in the years 2031, 2038 and 2057 for a total of $3.1 billion, with interest rates between 7 and 8%. The Ministry of Economy and Finance said that this operation was part of the financing strategy planned by the government to cover this year's budget. Starting today, Monday, the country enters the final stretch of its general elections on the 5th of May. The most important, without a doubt, in the last 30 years for the future of Panama. These elections are marked by uncertainty, not only regarding the results, but also the final list of presidential candidates, since regarding the candidacy of one of them, that of José Raúl Mulino, deputy of former President Ricardo Martinelli, of course, is currently leading the voting intention polls. Well, there is an unconstitutionality appeal not yet resolved by the Supreme Court of Justice. These elections also take place in an unprecedented and atypical scenario with high levels of political tension, suspicion, and distrust. To this, we must add an economic and social context characterized by the slowdown in economic growth, the loss of investment grade by the Fitch Rating Agency, high external debt, citizen social unrest, corruption and impunity, with major challenges such as the deficit of the Social Security Fund, the water shortage of the Panama Canal and the recent closure of the mine, among others. Political culture shows equally worrying data. Low level of support for democracy, 46%. 53% think that they would not mind a non-democratic government if it gives results to their problems. High levels of dissatisfaction with democracy, 83%, with political parties and a National Assembly very discredited and with very low levels of popular support. This week will be key. The campaign closures are coming. The projections of the latest voting intention polls and of central importance whether or not the CSJ will resolve the unconstitutionality appeal on Molino's candidacy before the 5th of May, and if so, what will be your decision? However, there is no certainty that the Supreme Court will issue its opinion before the 5th of May. In our opinion, what is convenient in a scenario of such complexity, political tension and uncertainty as the one Panama is experiencing is for the Supreme Court to convene an extraordinary plenary session, meet continuously and adopt a decision for or against the constitutionality no later than tomorrow, Tuesday, April the 30th. Without ignoring the risks and the political efforts that this decision could have just a few days before the election and the criticism and debate that said decision would generate in society, it's considered that it would be a lesser evil than the CSJ deciding not to decide, which would also have very important political effects. There's awareness that there is no ideal scenario, but even so, Panama should avoid going to the presidential elections on the 5th of May without an express and clear statement from the Supreme Court. It would be dangerous to extend the legal uncertainty post-election, especially in the scenario that Molino wins the presidential election. Therefore, there is no ideal scenario. Both are highly complex and carry highly politically intense risks, but leaving the legal uncertainty closed in one sense or another is the least serious. Furthermore, the credibility of the court itself is at stake, a key issue to guarantee legal certainty. A sine qua non requirement by the current situation to recover investments and economic growth. Another central issue that must be put under scrutiny is how the Assembly will be integrated, which will define the governability conditions that the new president will have. In short, all scenarios are open, not only the political electoral ones, but also the judicial ones. It will be an election with a high level of emotionality, that together with uncertainty will be a one-round election, and the high level of undecided people will be defined not only in the last days, but also in the last hours. Another key variable will be the level of electoral participation. In the last one, it was 73%, and within it, the level of electoral participation of young people. And last but not least, if you're worrying, perhaps, while the price of yams is picking up, well, personnel from the Superior Prosecutor's Office specialised in jug-related crimes, together with the National Border Service. They seized 75 rectangular passages with alleged illicit substances in the Bayano area. The drugs? Well, they were hidden in bags with yams. In a pickup-type vehicle, and in this case, there are two people arrested. And that's it then. There we go. Yes, we're in the rundown this week. There's been a lot to be to think about and a lot of things to discuss. But there again, that's our taking a look at some of the local news stories here in Panama compiled for you for today's programme.